Good afternoon. This show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. We just heard a jig by Johann Fuchs, performed by the St. Louis Brass from their recording of 1995 called Baroque Brass, and that frequently shows up on their concerts. They are about to launch their fall concert tour at Illinois College in Jacksonville tomorrow night at 7:30. They're actually going to do a workshop tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock.
I think they've changed that to 3 now.
Oh, did they? All
yeah.
Right. Good to know. Well, that's the voice of my guest this portion of Live and Local. Melvin Jernigan is the trombonist with the group. He's also the only remaining original member, only remaining founding member 40 years after their founding or so. And maybe, I guess it's a little longer than that now, isn't it?
Yeah, it started in 1964 as a group to out of the St. Louis Symphony to perform in schools to enhance our income at that time, and also just to have a different venue, a different audience to play for. Because I was the bass trombone player, I never got to play the solos very much. So in the quintet, I was the only trombone, and our trumpet players came from the orchestra, and they were in the lower seats at that time, not the principal. So we used it to just have some, you know, an outlet, which turned out to be really great. We loved it. I still love it.
And
I still love playing for those kids. The audiences, they're so appreciative, and it's so much fun. Ironically, you mentioned that that I was the only original member left, which is true. But not only that, we did a DVD in which we did some historical ramblings about the quintet starting in 1964. And we listed all the trumpet players that had ever played with us, and all the horn players, all the tubas that had ever played with us. And when we got to trombone, there was nobody else that had ever played with this group.
Wow.
Except myself. Which I was flabbergasted. I've never gotten sick. I have never missed for one reason or another, and that's just so unusual. And this concert in Jacksonville, I have some broken rib problems right at the moment, and this concert in Jacksonville on Saturday night will be the first time that we've ever had another trombonist, and we're going to be using Scott Hartman, formerly of Empire Brass and now teaching at Yale University. He's going to be playing the trombone. And I'm going to get to hear them when they come into St. Louis the next day, and get to hear the group, hear my part going, you know, being played instead of having to play it.
That's probably going to be a little bit surreal for you.
It probably will be. we have some pieces that we do that are voice stories, poems. We're going to be doing. A group of poems in Jacksonville that were arranged by a former member of ours. It's called Animal Ditties with the stories of Ogden Nash with
Anthony
music.
Anthony Plogue.
Yes, Plogue did the arranging.
Yeah.
And if I were going to Jacksonville, which I don't think I'm going because of the intermittent pain, if I were going, I'd probably read the ones that I normally read. Because I can still read, but I haven't even picked up the trombone in 3 weeks. I have no idea. I get short of breath on one flight of stairs, so I have a feeling I wouldn't do too well trying to play.
Well, it takes a lot of air to play the trombone.
Yeah,
and,
it does.
That means a lot of expansion of those ribs.
Right.
I won't ask what you did in order to do that, but congratulations on that incredible feat of longevity.
Oh, yeah, right. Thank you.
How many were on the list of everybody else that's played?
There might have been 20 trumpets that played.
No, kidding.
You know, and 12 horns and 3 or 4 tubas. The principal tuba in the Chicago Symphony played with us for 5 years while he was in St. Louis. We've had some really great players. Susan Slaughter was almost an original member. She just retired from the St. Louis Symphony.
Oh, did she? She was the principal for a long time, right?
She was. When she started with us, though, she was playing fourth trumpet and was glad to have the outlet of the quintet. And it led to some really great things for us for about 10 years when she was with it. But once she became principal, it was just too much. Too much work.
I assume that in addition, you know, if you're not necessarily the first chair and therefore sort of the solo player in the orchestra, it gives you that opportunity. But I imagine also that as a brass player, it's always fun to play in a brass quintet.
It is.
Just to play chamber music.
It is. Not to have a conductor is one thing. Have your own part, not doubled with someone's another. It's really, really fun. Really fun to play in quintets or quartets, but quintets make it a little bit easier on brass.
Why is a quintet easier than
quintet? Because, you know, like for instance, Alan Dean does most of our arrangements, and he'll for a Renaissance arrangement, he'll probably have three people playing at any one time for 8 bars, 16 bars, then a different three to play the next set, and then four the next time, and maybe end with all five. Whereas a lot of the Renaissance and Baroque transcriptions that are available for brass have everybody playing, wall to wall, five people playing all the time. And that's extremely tiring to do that on brass. And it's much, much easier the way Alan does it. But I don't think that's just the reason he does it. He likes the change in timbre of not having, having different groupings of the instruments, tuba, horn, and trombone, or tuba, horn, and trumpet, instead of just having a lot of the arrangements that we have played and still do play in other groups, everybody's just playing all the time. It's just not it gives you no timbre relief. Plus, it's just really difficult on your lips.
Well, and playing a brass instrument anyway is especially taxing because it's the one instrument where you actually, of the wind instruments, it's the one group where you're actually pressing against a part of your body constantly,
right.
Where you're also supposed to be using that, exercising the muscles of that body, or that part of your body to produce the sound. So, and you can quickly stop being able to do that. I remember as a horn player, you know, those muscles just get so tired and you can only use them for so long.
Right, right. And then you start forcing, and my senior in high school daughter, May, just was telling me last night, she said, when I got out on the football field the other day, I could play the high notes for a while.
And then not anymore.
No, but not more than 5 minutes.
I wanted to play for our listeners something from what we heard from your Baroque recording. And you all have, I guess, 6 CDs out currently, a new DVD, and LPs from that era, although people are making LPs again now, I noticed.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It seems to be some sort of badge of distinction that certain pop and rock groups and other groups are doing LPs again, which is, I think, is really great. But anyway,
digress. Well, let me say on that subject.
Yeah, go ahead.
Our trumpeter, Ray Sasaki, who was at Illinois for 20 years or more, maybe.
Yeah, on faculty.
Yeah, and now he's at Texas, University of Texas. We went to his house a couple of times in recent years, and he has a whole wall of shelving built and for his recordings, and all he has is LPs. Absolutely nothing else.
Wow.
That I could see.
So he's a purist.
Absolutely.
As far as that goes.
Yes.
Well, I've got about half and half, but I have to admit my LPs don't get played all that much, even though I got a nice record player, because they are just so more convenient. Well, I wanted to play something off of, is this the most recent record, the Renaissance Fair?
No, it's not, but it's close to it, I suppose. We just do recordings about every 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
This says it was 2001, and looking at the program booklet. So we had one more after that, and then we had a DVD after that. And there may have been another one after that I've forgotten. But and it's a fairly old one. And in this particular one, I'm trying to. Or you're gonna play the Praetorius?
Yeah, I think we'll play some of the Praetorius dances from his collection called Terpsichore, which gets all kinds of arrangements.
Right, right. Alan Dean did these arrangements for us. There are five movements that he did, five dances, six, I should say, that he did. He took them from a collection of instrumental French dances, 312 instrumental French dances called the Terpsichore. And he envisions that the musicians, the wind musicians of that day, 300 years ago, would take these books. I can see them carrying them under their arm, going into the next place they're going to perform, and laying out their books as if they were a fake book, like we have jazz groups now. Can you play In the Mood? And everybody looks up to see where that is. Oh, that's 312. I will play In the Mood. Well, he had these 312 dances, and I don't know if this is all true, but
it makes a good story.
It does. And there really are 312 of them, and he's picked out six that he really loves, and we'll open the program in Jacksonville with those.
I'm talking with Melvin Jernigan, who is the trombonist of the St. Louis Brass. They're going to be playing tomorrow night at 7:30 at Illinois College in Jacksonville in Rammelkamp Chapel, which reminds me that I think one of the instruments that would have been original to some of these Praetorius dances is something called the Rammelpot. At least I've seen some Praetorius arrangements using that instrument, and Rammelkamp reminds me of Rammelpot.
Yeah, right.
But it makes a really sort of bizarre sound. In any event, St. Louis Brass from their disc called Renaissance Fair, music by Michael Praetorius here on Live and Local. Those were some dances by Michael Praetorius from his collection called Terpsichore, arrangements by the first trumpeter of the St. Louis Brass, Alan Dean. They are going to be playing that music, among much more, tomorrow night at 7:30, Illinois College in Jacksonville. They're giving a workshop at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. My guest is the trombonist of the group, Melvin Jernigan. You mentioned very early in this conversation that you always enjoy playing for the kids, and I understand the brass quintet was originally started specifically to play children's concerts. Is that still a mainstay of your tours?
No, it's not. Now we do children's concerts and high school workshops with this group, but not only as a part of a residency of one or 2 days, usually 2 days. We have some really entertaining and educational presentations for the grade schools, but we don't do that regularly. This group, being composed mostly of college professors, we only do three tours a year, and we find that in each of those tours that we mostly play for community concerts located in colleges or privately or otherwise, and we don't have time actually on the tours. We filled out the tours with the adult type concerts. However, I play in another group that's in St. Louis, and children's concerts is all that we do. But we've cut that down a good bit. The economy's kind of hurt, and competition has hurt. The brass quintet used to, boy, in the 70s, it was so big and so exciting to take into these schools, and now they've got options of dance groups and just really entertaining multimedia type things that they carry into the schools. So the brass is not as popular as it used to be. There's so many other things they can choose from.
So I suppose from a kid's point of view, that's great
It
because they
is.
get more variety,
It
but
is.
from the performer's point of view, if you're a brass player, that sort of, as I say, cuts into your time.
Right.
Alan Dean used to play, or does he still play in the group that called the New York Brass Quintet?
No, he doesn't. He played in the New York Brass Quintet for many years. He wasn't a founding member, but he joined the group. I may be getting this confused. He also played in the American Brass Quintet. He's an unusual trumpet player to have played in American Brass, New York Brass, and St. Louis Brass. Now, he played many years in New York Brass and American Brass. He wasn't a founding member, nor did he end their tenure of both one of those groups. The New York Brass is no longer exists at all. He was there when it retired. I'm sorry, I forgot that. But American Brass is still around.
I think I remember the name Alan Dean because I think they came through on a community concert series in Pennsylvania where I grew up.
I'm
I
pretty sure
remember
I
that
saw him
from there.
too, back in the early 60s. We were talking about that recently with Harvey Phillips playing tuba, and I'm pretty sure it was Alan Dean, some little town over in Illinois just outside of St. Louis.
Might as well mention the other members of the group. We have mentioned the two trumpet players, Alan Dean and Ray Sasaki. Ray, of course, with a very close connection to Champaign-Urbana, still comes back and plays jazz gigs regularly. Thomas Bacon is a horn player, a former principal with various orchestras around and a soloist as well. Melvin Jernigan, of course, we're talking to him. And Daniel Parentoni is the tuba player, teaches at Indiana University, and I knew that name mostly because from reading the biography of the University of Illinois tuba professor, who was a student of his at one time, Mickey Moore, Mark Moore.
Exactly.
So all these guys, I guess, except you're not doing any college teaching right now,
No,
are you?
I've been on adjunct faculty of the St. Louis universities over the years, but I haven't done any of that in recent times. Not at all. I don't teach privately either any longer.
But you're involved in this thing called Primo Concerts?
Right. Well, Primo Concerts has several groups under its wing, but about three or four of those groups have gone under and for various reasons, and now we're left with a Dixieland jazz group and the St. Louis Brass. Used to have about six, so Primo Concerts was like a booking agency for those six.
And is that sort of the victim of some of the
Well,
large differentiation of all those kinds of things that the kids and other audiences have access to now?
I think that's possible. That's possible, because even now, it's the demand for Dixieland, traditional Dixieland jazz is limited, and that's got to be because of the competition that all the other kinds of groups that are available. And when we had Summit Brass, it had 17 players in it. It included the St. Louis Brass and additional players of all sorts. It was such an expensive endeavor. It didn't cost any more than Canadian brass, but it didn't have the name and therefore the draw. So as the economy got worse and things like community concerts organization went under, that group was just not viable any longer with 17 people.
So is Summit Brass still around in a smaller form,
It
or?
is. No, it's still around in the same form. Every year they do a week-long workshop and concerts at the University of Denver, in Denver, Colorado, in the summer. It's a workshop that we have done. I don't do it any longer, but we started way back 25 or 30 years ago, and then we also played concerts at that time. But it originally started as a two-week workshop for brass, very, very talented brass players, and brass players all over the country, university professors and otherwise. You just find players that were in those early workshop weeks, and that's still going on. And it's called the Mendez Brass Institute. Rafael Mendez, his sons endowed the program so that it's able to put on the week-long thing with a whole lot of scholarships.
Mm. So that's Summit Brass. We're, of course, talking about St. Louis Brass, who are going to be performing tomorrow night at Illinois College in Jacksonville. Here's some music that I imagine most people will know, and it's appropriate enough to play this, given the name of your group. It's the St. Louis Blues, off of the record by the St. Louis Brass called Pops, from 1993. And I imagine are you the only one of the current membership that's on that CD, or any of the other guys?
No, I think everybody's on there. That comes off the Pops record. A couple of them were not on that one. That has an interesting history, too, the St. Louis. The one you're going to play and one you're going to hear is the original one that we did.
The original arrangement, right.
And after a while, we decided we wanted another different style arrangement or something, and we commissioned somebody to write something, and we tried it, and we discarded it pretty quickly. And even 3 years ago, we did it again. We commissioned someone to write something. We said, you got to make it, got to have some entertainment in, as a part of it, not just the straight music with the tango set in there, but something a little different. Well, that didn't work out either. We tried it on several audiences and kind of got the ho-hum. So then Alan Dean said, I'm not going to make an arrangement, but I've heard this great traditional group on a CD that a relative of his sent him. He said, I'm going to try to do something like that so that we got something different. So the one we're going to play tomorrow in Jacksonville is different from the one that you just heard or are going to hear. It will have singing by the group. It features Tom Bacon singing solo on a megaphone. And it's just got all kinds of stuff in it that's really, really clever. Alan gave me the CD that came from, and it's about 8 or 9 minutes. Ours is not that long. About 8 or 9 minutes of just different St. Louis blues, renditions as it goes through the time.
Different kind of shenanigans going on.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So this is our latest one, and I think we like it right now. We like it the best. But the original one that you're going to hear is also a favorite of ours.
St. Louis Blues with the St. Louis Brass Quintet here on Live and Local. It's the St. Louis Blues, played by the St. Louis Brass from their CD called Pops. They're going to be at Illinois College in Jacksonville tomorrow night at 7:30, doing a workshop in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. You're listening to Live and Local, where my guest is the trombonist of the group, Melvin Jernigan. He's also the one remaining founding member from back in 1964. And Mel, since you mentioned the various arrangements of St. Louis Blues and that one or two of those arrangements seem to fall flat with audiences, I wonder how you do judge whether an arrangement is successful. Is it simply because the amount of and length of applause, or other ways to determine whether you should keep something in your repertoire?
Well, that's interesting. I think it does have something to do with the enthusiastic applause or lack thereof. It also, you can sort of read it on people's faces. If you play something they don't like, or some really modern, far-out thing that's not appreciated, you don't get any smiles. When you do something that they really like, you can see the expressions. It's really nice to have those upbeat kind of people close, too, so we can really see them. rather than having someone with a really dour expression be on the front row, which happens once in a while. But no, we can read it. We feel we can read it. And then after the concert, we ask people, or they come up and say, "I just love that arrangement," or we'll say, "What do you think of that? That's new to us. What do you think? Should we keep it in the book or what?"
And obviously, if you're all going to be coming together for what, just three times a year for 10-day tours or so,
right? Exactly.
This is something that all the players do for fun. So having an audience that doesn't seem to be enjoying everything would mean we better not keep doing that particular those particular pieces.
Right. We have to keep it entertaining and interesting, and for ourselves and for the audience. Because we want to keep playing, we want to keep going out together. It's a big treat for us to go out three times a year. We don't see each other except for those three times a year. A few of them do the summer thing with Summit Brass, but we basically have a 10-day party three times a year.
And then do you just get together for a day or two in advance of each tour and do the practicing?
Right. We get together for a day. We'll be getting together tonight, as a matter of fact, in St. Louis, and then we've got a concert on Sunday in St. Louis that we're going to play a few organ and brass works, so we'll be rehearsing those tonight, along with brushing up on the other things that and getting Scott Hartman more acquainted with the arrangements. He's had the music for a few weeks, but he'll want to hear it in context. More, you know, quite a bit more than the other guys would probably want to play it, but nevertheless, that's one of the things you have to do when somebody's coming in for the first time.
Well, and just a reminder for any listeners who are tuning in, this portion of the interview, Scott Hartman is former trombonist with Empire Brass. He's going to be filling in for Melvin Jernigan on this particular tour. This is the first time that Mel will not have played a gig with the St. Louis Brass in their entire existence, which is really an awesome accomplishment, I guess.
I guess. You know, I never thought about it until 4 or 5 years ago when we were doing this project about the history of the group.
So my condolences that you can't play it, and I hope the ribs do heal pretty quickly so you can get back on tour as soon as possible.
Yeah, so do I.
Or at least catch the next tour.
I appreciate it.
Melvin Jernigan, my guest here on Live and Local. St. Louis Brass will be at Rammelkamp Chapel at Illinois College in Jacksonville for a concert at 7:30 tomorrow night. Their workshop is in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. Mel, do you have any idea how one gets involved in that workshop?
I'm not sure that we're going to do it all together. They're going to have – oh, yes, I do. I'm getting it mixed up with another date. He's going to have some of the student groups perform for the quintet. And then we'll critique them, and in front of the audience of the ones that are not performing, and everyone will learn, you know, from that. Including if I were there, every time I witness one of these workshops, I learn so much from Alan Dean, Dan Parentoni, Ray Sasaki, Tom Bacon, what they say to these players. So I feel like it's a learning experience for everyone there. And always a lot of fun, entertaining, usually.
And then, of course, the concert is
the
a concert, which sounds like that'll be a lot of fun, too.
It will be. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to me, and happy healing.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Here's always a fun tune that I'm sure many people associate still with the Harlem Globetrotters. I don't know if they still use this tune, but it's a popular one. Also comes off of the Pops record. This is called Sweet Georgia Brown, the St. Louis Brass Quintet on Live and Local. It's called Sweet Georgia Brown, the arrangement made by and played by the St. Louis Brass, who will be performing at Illinois College in Jacksonville at the Rammelkamp Chapel tomorrow night at 7:30. And my guest, Melvin Jernigan. This show, he is the longtime and only trombonist for the St. Louis Brass since 1964. Ironically, tomorrow will be the first gig he's not joining. As you may have heard earlier, he managed to break some ribs, and that makes it awfully hard to breathe and play the trombone. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. We have support today from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday, it's New Reds for Fall, followed from 7 to 9 by the jazz sounds of trombonist Eric Lund. Details are available on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. I'm Kevin Kelly, and as promised in our promo for today's show, we'd have some recently received recordings from local musicians, and that does not mean they're necessarily new recordings, but they're new to our station here, including a group that plays very regularly in the Champaign-Urbana community, and I thought I'd follow up the St. Louis Brass, that particular song, with this one, which seems to be an appropriate segue. It's a traditional jazz orchestra called Sobbin' and Cryin'. Obviously, a live set, or from a live set, we heard Sobbin' and Cryin', the name of that tune, by the Traditional Jazz Orchestra, which is based in Champaign-Urbana, as they say it. TJO plays hot music from the early 20th century when jazz was young, the music of King Oliver, Louis Armstrong, Jelly Roll Morton, Fats Waller, and other popular composers from the period. And they play every third Tuesday at Bouvon's in Urbana, Bouvon's Wine Bar. That just happened this past Tuesday, and it's always at 5:30. Next one will be at on October the 16th. They also occasionally play elsewhere, including on the 2nd of October, coming up shortly. That'll be at the Iron Post in Urbana. You can check their Facebook page for their ongoing dates. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and I thought I would run down some of the other items on our calendar before we hear a little bit of Gloria Rubel's music to take us out here on this Friday afternoon. The Funky Butt Drum Club, always with a wonderful name, is having a reunion show tonight at Cowboy Monkey in downtown Champaign. That will start at 10 o'clock. The Millikan Concertino gives a performance at Central Christian Church in Decatur this evening at 6 o'clock, about an hour from now. The Illinois Modern Ensemble and the University of Illinois Wind Symphony give a joint concert at the Krannert Center in Urbana tonight at 7:30. The Center for World Music at the University of Illinois and SPICMAKEI, which stands for the Society for Promotion of Indian Classical Music and Culture Among Youth, will be performing, presenting a concert of Drupad, which is a sort of vocal music, as I understand it, at the Krannert Center. I meant to check that. I don't think it's at the Krannert Center, but let's say it's at the Krannert Center tonight at 7:30. Check the Center for World Music website, if you can, at the University of Illinois. Heartland Theater Company presents These Shining Lives tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. That's at their company building in Normal. Rodman, Waite, Palmer, and Hoax are at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood this evening at 5:30, so about 35 minutes away. Illinois State University's Jazz 1 and 2 ensembles will present a concert at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts in Normal tonight at 8 o'clock. The Jeff Helgeson Quintet starts up in about 5 minutes at the Iron Post in Urbana. The Micah Walk Band will be at Donnie's Homespun Pizza in Springfield tonight at 9 o'clock. It's the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged being presented at Schilling Auditorium in Decatur, 7:30 tonight and tomorrow, with a Sunday matinee at 3 o'clock. Don't Ask is a klezmer band. They're playing at Bouvons in Urbana tonight at 6:30. The Rantoul Theatre Group presents Peter Pan at Grissom Hall Theatre in Rantoul tonight and tomorrow at 8 o'clock, Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. Matthew Curry and the Fury play the blues at the Cowboy Monkey in downtown Champaign tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Millikan University presents its collage concert with multiple ensembles from the School of Music tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur. Basket of Hope presents the 5th annual Come to the Cabaret at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The University of Illinois Symphony Orchestra performs at the Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow night at 7:30. The local Brazilian band Decifinado plays at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. It's an evening of prose, poetry, and music with Jeff Arrigo and others. He's the musician, anyway, at Indigo Artist Co-op tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. That's in downtown Champaign. Pianist Awadajan Pratt performs a benefit recital for his foundation at Westbrook Auditorium of Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington tomorrow night at 7:30. It's the Midtown Men from Broadway at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The Samba Soul group from Champaign-Urbana will perform at Champaign Public Library tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. On Sunday, it's a faculty recital at Illinois Wesleyan University featuring saxophonist Keith Zimmerman and pianist William West. That's in Westbrook Auditorium on the Wesleyan campus in Bloomington, Sunday afternoon at 3. It's a Celtic celebration with Skibbereen, Elk's Pipes, I'm not reading that right, and the Emerald Underground at Washington Park in Springfield, Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Illinois State University presents a choral showcase at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts, Sunday afternoon at 3 in Normal, followed by Symphony Orchestra Concert at 7 o'clock. And it's the Millikan University High School Vocal Festival, happening at Millikan in Decatur, Sunday starting at 1. And finally, the Illinois-Japan Performing Arts Network presents Fields of Indigo with Norbert Herber, installation sound artist at the Krannert Art Museum. Interesting-sounding presentation. Sunday afternoon, it's in Champaign on the U of I campus at 3 o'clock. Programs today are made possible with support from the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, teaming with the Art Theater to present Man on a Wire on Sunday, September 30th at the Art Theater. For more information, visit krannertcenter.com. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. From an earlier recording, about 11 years ago, by Gloria Rubel, when she was known as G. Lee, here's some of her song called I Will Escape.